Welcome to episode 4 of the Hoops, Rhymes, and Life podcast, a.k.a. the HRL podcast. I'm your host, DG, and I'm with the fam today, DA and L. Will. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on, man? Great week so far. Good basketball games. Let's go. Let's talk about them.
Okay. Well, how'd you guys feel about tonight's game, man? Houston, Golden State, game 5 reactions.
Man, that was a great game. I guess my reaction to it was two things. Just jump. I noticed, you know, Houston didn't really play well. You know, they shot the ball pretty inefficiently. James Harden didn't play well. I think at one point he was 0 for 7 from 3. So for them just to be able to gut out a game like that and get a win, I think it says a lot about their just overall competitiveness in this series and how closely the teams are matched, you know, with them being able to win games like that. And then this is two games in a row where Steve Kerr just has not really put his team in a great position down the stretch. I looked and I saw Quinn Cook in the game, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, this is the Golden State Warriors, and Quinn Cook, you know, he's a solid, you know, rotation player, but it's the Western Conference Finals, so I wouldn't expect a player of his caliber to be on the floor down the stretch in a game like that.
Would you put Nick Young in?
Yeah, I actually would, because I mean, when you saw that three that he had to take, I don't even think they would leave Nick Young open for that.
Well, I don't think he was left open. And Quinn Cook did look nervous. As soon as he caught the ball, he was fumbling.
He was jittery, for sure.
Yeah, he didn't seem like he was ready to go. He had good looks, I want to say, all night. I think he only took two or three shots, but they were all wide open shots.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just didn't seem ready to me.
I mean, I just don't. I mean, I think it was more so a defensive substitution. Mm-hmm. But at that particular time, I think I want to go with my veterans. I want to go with people who have been there,
yeah,
and been in the moment. Quinn Cook just wouldn't have been in for me at that particular time.
I saw Quinn Cook in earlier in the season. Him playing late game situations very similar to tonight's. And yeah. I questioned him being in late during those moments and them losing games kind of similar to how they lost tonight. And then we see the same thing happen again tonight and the same results. And at some point in time, we had to start really questioning Steve Kerr's strategic ability as far as, like, how are you putting your line? He put David West out there just on an island, play after play after play. And Chris Paul's just picking him apart. And by the time – I want to say by the time they took David West out, they brought in Looney, and I think that's when Cook had come in as well. It just looked bad.
Yeah.
But then I think, like, who does he put in place of David West? And I forget who else had come out at the moment. But I just feel like with Iguodala being out, it shows him to be more valuable than I expected him to be. I expected them to be able to still pick up his hole, fill his hole, and still get things done. And they just haven't been able to do it without him.
Yeah, I mean, that can't be an excuse to. I mean, missing Iguodala, he's a good piece, but when you have four All-Stars, you know, two MVPs. You can't use that as an excuse. I mean, Iguodala's good, but come on, man. He's getting too much credit.
Right, right. But it sounds crazy to even say it.
But I think my take is, man, I'm blaming Kevin Durant. I think he's playing so much ISO ball that the Warriors aren't playing like themselves. The last two games, they ain't cracked 100. So I think he's being too ball dominant. He's playing like he's in OKC again, where he's stopping the ball and playing ISO ball, and he hasn't been efficient the last two games, and I think that's the reason why they're struggling. they're playing like the Rockets, too much iso ball. So I think he has to take it upon himself to get more than zero assists. Mm-hmm. He should never have zero assists because he's going to bring at least another defender over. And so when he had zero assists, he had, I think, one or two last game. He's playing selfish. You know, he needs to be aggressive, but I think he's been overly aggressive and it's hurting the team. I think they got to play more pick and roll with Steph because when he's their best scorer, they said they win 90% of the games. So they definitely have to figure out a way to get Steph more involved. And as far as the Rockets, I mean, they won this game. It felt like a 90s game, except they shot more threes, but that feel of just like rugged defense. But James Harden, disappointment. Over and over, this guy was chucking up shots, and he wasn't hitting. 0 for 11 from 3 in a huge game 5 like that. I expected more. Chris Paul struggled early, but he picked it up late. He kind of carried him, and then Eric Gordon kind of brought him home. I think Eric Gordon was probably the MVP of this game. Yeah, so and Gerald Green, he takes some bad shots, man, but today he hit them. So he was also a nice little, you know, punch off the bench, but
you don't like his leaners out of bounds?
Man, them some tough shots.
Man, he's so much elevation on them shots, man.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, if Chris Paul's hurt, man, I don't know. I'm a little worried now.
Yeah, it's kind of a reoccurring thing with Chris Paul. Like, at the worst times, it always seems like the worst time when it happens, but he gets injured so much in the playoffs and it can ruin the entire series.
Yeah.
Like Golden State could easily walk through these next two games simply because they don't have the pressure of a CP3 out there on the floor.
Yeah, I just think, you know, with his body type, man, you know, it's just hard for him to stay healthy, man. I mean, it really comes down to his body type. Not only is he undersized, but he just doesn't have an athletic frame. And I think I'm not even being funny. Yeah. I mean, you know. Chris Paul's one of my favorite point guards of all time. I have him as a top 3 point guard ever. Mm-hmm. But I just think he doesn't have – there's been lots of guys in the league who don't have athletic frames. I mean, Magic didn't really have one. Melo doesn't have one. Yeah. But they're bigger guys.
P.J. Tucker, yeah.
Yeah, they're bigger guys, though. Yeah. You know, to be 5'11", with, you know, and you're playing a position at in an era where the athletes are just – premium ultra athletes. I just think the wear and tear, the years in the league, and I think it just comes down to his body type. So, I mean, conversely, we talk about LeBron and his longevity, mm-hmm. and then you look at his body type. You know, I think it just goes hand in hand.
Yeah. But LeBron's one of a kind, so.
Oh, yeah. Another player I'm worried about in this series is Steph Curry, man. Here we are 5 games into the series, and we can probably say he's only had one good game. Our series, and
I would say one good quarter, just to not to cut you off, but pretty much one great quarter.
Right. Yeah, you might be right. He had a great third quarter. Yeah, I think he scored 18, 19 points within that quarter, and outside of that, Steph has just been looking like a guy. Yeah. Are we still saying that's injury?
It's something because I said he was looking like Derek Fisher. You know, I mean, he's looking like Derek Fisher playing a great game at this point. He's not doing too much anything to help out. But I also got to blame KD again, man, because it's hard to get in the rhythm when this guy's holding the ball for the whole shot clock. They can't get in the rhythm.
Yeah. KD is holding the ball quite a long time.
Wait, way too much.
He's taking best shots. I think he was 6-for-13 in the first half. I felt like he missed a lot of easy shots in the first half. So it was more so he needs to just calm down and get his, you know, get his focus together. The second half, though, I think he was like 2-for-8, 2-for-9 from the field. Played terrible. Like, you come out and I don't know if you've seen the segment where Steve Kerr is talking to him on the sideline about Jordan passing the ball to Paxson and so on and so forth. He comes out and he's in position to shoot the ball now inside the paint. and he starts trying to pass the ball and it just turns into turnovers. Like, that's not your game. If you're going to be passing, then put yourself in a different position, but don't pass up good shots trying to make the extra pass in the paint. He's just throwing the ball away. So he looked like a scrub in the second half. And him looking bad and then him taking shot attempts away from Steph Curry, it's a double negative. And playing like that, they're not going to win any games. They're not going to win the important games, I should say.
Yeah. So what do you guys expect for game six?
I expect Golden State to smack Houston in the mouth game six for a couple of reasons. Two, their back is up against the wall. I feel like they'll put a lot of focus in on their detail as far as what they need to do. I think Houston may get a little relaxed. Plus, this injury to Chris Paul is probably the biggest reason. And I just don't see Houston being able to overcome Chris Paul being out. They did play with him early in the season. I think 18 some odd games. They did well with him being out. But here, this is the Western Conference Finals. You guys are playing against the defending champions. Totally different ball club. So, yeah, I think it can get ugly for Houston over in Oakland.
Yeah, I think I don't know how ugly it'll get, but I do have Golden State winning easily. And mainly it's just because of Chris Paul. I mean, just looking at the body language, I mean, this is where the narrative comes in about Chris Paul disappearing in the playoffs and stuff like that, which I just never agreed with. He's never disappeared. And James Harden just doesn't have that same killer instinct. And so when you have Chris Paul is kind of feeding him. Kind of similar to what D-Wade did for Bron that first year in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you have someone who kind of, you know, puts a different train of thought into you and just pours into you. And so I feel like without him, I think when they hit some adversity, that they'll just buckle. You know, there's not going to be any leadership on the floor to kind of, you know, piece them together. So I'll say Golden State wins by 10 to 15.
Yeah, I think they have no chance without Chris Paul. Without James Harden playing efficiently, they may lose by 20. I don't think they have enough playmakers if Chris Paul is out. I know Eric Gordon can score, but outside of Harden creating for somebody else, that's all they got. So I think Chris Paul should probably sit out game six, try and get as healthy as possible, and just gear up for game seven. So I think game six is a wash. I think they'll lose that.
I agree.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about James Harden? I feel like he's not living up to expectations. So what do you guys think about his series so far?
What are his expectations? I mean,
MVP.
We see him as being the MVP of the regular season, so on and so forth. But we've seen this story before. Same thing. Within the last 4 years, we've seen this two or three other seasons where he looks spectacular in the regular season, get to the playoffs, and play very similar to what we've seen tonight. So I don't know if the expectations are really high. It's more so, what are you going to do? Are you going to change the narrative? And so far, he hasn't. I mean, we see flashes of it here where he plays great. But I saw a stat game one. Game one of every series, he averages over 40 points. Every game after that, he averages closer to 24, 25 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's very telling. Very telling. What that tells me is as soon as the coaches make adjustment on how they're going to defend you, your stats drop tremendously. Points wise, your efficiency drops, everything. That's a bad stat. So I'm not so much shocked by him not playing well. It's more so just like, here we go with this again. And is somebody gonna be able to step up in order to save him from his poor play? And tonight we had Eric Gordon come out and do that for him.
When you talk about what's this series telling me about James Harden, I think it only, you know, solidifies what I've always thought. And I think James Harden's a really good player, but I don't think he's a generational talent. And in this era, you know, especially in terms of being MVPs, It's really an era where generational talent should win MVP. I mean, if you look at LeBron, you look at Steph, the greatest shooter of all time. You look at a KD. Those are generational talents. Then you have Russ in there, but, I mean, he had a historical season. So I never felt that James Harden was the MVP. I mean, I feel like how can you be the MVP when I think there's a better player than you on your own team? And that's Chris Paul. I mean, just in the historical context, if you ask me who's the better player, it's Chris Paul. LeBron's been the MVP, and that's been evident in his playoff series. Chris Paul can literally save James Harden. No one could save LeBron. I mean, he's just asking for someone to chip in, and they could, you know, he doesn't really have that. So yeah. I think it just reinforces what I've always thought about James Harden. I think he's a really good player. I don't think he's a superstar, but I do think he's an all-star. And he can put up some good numbers, but yeah, at the end of the day, they just don't translate.
That's I'm surprised you say he's not a superstar. I mean, he's done enough to qualify as a superstar, but, I mean, that's your opinion.
That's how I feel, too. I feel he's done enough to qualify as a superstar.
Yeah.
He gets stats, he feels seats. He does everything he's supposed to do as far as a superstar. He can't win when it matters in the playoffs.
Well, I mean statistically, right? Like if we're gonna look at him statistically, yeah, there's a lot of similarities between him and Damian Lillard. Statistically. And no one's gonna call Dame a superstar. You're gonna call him an all-star, but not a superstar.
But James Harden gets more assists though. Yeah, that's the difference.
He does get more assists, but look at the system he's in. He's in the video game offense.
But was he all? So, did he, and I'm just asking just for clarification. When he went to Houston, did he have D'Antoni his first year there, his first season there? Or did his
Nah, they had Mikal.
There we go. His assists just started going up within the last two or three years.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when he was with Scotty Brooks said that he was their best playmaker and passer there as well. So I think he's always had the ability to make the plays. I think you put the right people around him, he's able to do those things.
I think it's more so the offense. I mean, when we're looking at his assist total under Kevin McHale, he was averaging his first 2 years in Houston, he averaged 25 and 5. Those are Dame numbers.
Yeah.
Then D'Antoni came. And then he had the one outlier, which was last year, where he had a ridiculous season, 29 and 11. But, you know, I just feel like – and when I say a superstar, my definition of a superstar is somebody – to be a superstar, you have to basically be able to go to any team and make them a contender. That's what I believe.
Okay. So there's only about two guys.
Yeah, I mean, how many superstars can you really have?
I mean, I thought maybe like five, but I guess you're saying only about
your
two.
Your definition is different. Your definition.
Yeah, that's just my definition.
Yeah.
Now, if we're talking about who can put butt and who can sell sneakers, well, that's going to come down to who can put the ball in the hole. If you can score the ball, you can get fans. But when it comes down to really just being a guy who can go anywhere and make a team contend. Yeah. Or at least take a bottom team to a playoff team just with your presence alone. I feel like LeBron could do it. I feel like KD could do it. And maybe that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, for me, man, James Harden, I thought this would be the year where he kind of turned it around in the playoffs. He's been struggling, though, in my eyes. The first game, he was cooking. All game, he was cooking. And then since then, it's been a slow trickle down. He hasn't shot above 45% since game one. He shot 37, 43, 42, and tonight 23%. So he's getting the same looks. So I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure if he's folding under the pressure, if he's getting tight at the end of the games. But there's something going on, and he has to figure it out because now with Chris Paul out, it's on him. And if he's a superstar, I think he is, he has to play better.
Well, I think with Klay the more and more reps Clay gets on James Harden, the easier it is for him to defend him. I see Clay beating him to the spot, really forcing him to his right hand. He's crowding his step back. He's not getting the same looks when Clay is on him. And DA made a statement before the series had began that Clay keeps him off the line pretty much. And you know, for the last couple years, he's had a hard time getting to the free throw line on Clay.
But see, it's not even that, because they're running pick and roll and they're getting the switch. So he had KD on him one time, a couple times. He had Steph on him, and I saw him go. He did like a quadruple crossover. He went double cross, through the legs, crossover, step back, through the leg, crossover, step back, and nowhere to go. So with Steph on him. So I don't know what's happening, but late in games, he's not playing the same.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, they're crowding that. If you watch, you have Steph actually pushing him left. That defender that's supposed to be to Steph's right is shading over some. So that lane may look open on that first step, but it collapses quick. That lane closes. And he's just not kicking the ball out, making the right plays. And he's trying to keep the ball in his hands. He did a step back with his hips turned the opposite direction away from the rim and tried to shoot the ball off a bump. And it was just like, pass the ball. So you can tell he's getting desperate. We saw him in, what was that game? Game two that they won when Eric Gordon, everybody was going off.
Yeah.
He was shooting bad. And instead of him just continue to make the right basketball play, you can see it in his mind. He's like, I got to get my points. He's shooting shots that he ain't have. There was no reason for him to take these shots. So there's a selfish mentality in him as well, which isn't what you need. You definitely need it at times. But in these winning moments, you can't play like that. And he's just been playing like trash.
Yeah. I think he's, what, 8 for 42 in his last four games?
Well, they said he missed his last 19 threes.
Yeah, 0 for 11 tonight. So he has to pick it up, man. I mean, that's the only thing about it. He has to change how he's playing. He has to be more efficient, like in game one. There's no way you should go from 41 points in game one to 19 tonight. Like, the drop-off shouldn't be that good if you're a superstar. So I expect more.
Yeah, I just don't know how much he could really give without Chris Paul. I think he's capable of having a big game. I just don't know if he's capable of leading them to a clutch win, a signature win.
Right.
Yeah.
Without Chris Paul.
I mean, he hasn't done it yet, so he can prove us wrong.
Well, it's laid out for him to do it now, though.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
All right. Well, moving on to the East Coast, man. Cavaliers, Boston, game five. How'd you guys feel about that?
I was sick, man. Man, I just from the very beginning, man, I just didn't like the urgency that LeBron came out with.
Yeah.
And I feel like on this team, especially with, you know, this group of bipolar players, I feel like he clearly has to establish that tone. Really think it starts with defense, just his effort on defense. The speed, it's funny because a reporter had asked him after game four about an analytic that basically said the only player moving slower than LeBron in the NBA playoffs is Zaza Pachulia. And LeBron got upset, man. You know, he didn't like that stat.
Yeah.
And he didn't believe it. But when you look at him, like, he's playing pretty slow.
He's chilling.
And I know he's asked to do a lot out there, so he tries to conserve energy. But there's just times and situations where you can't conserve energy. With that said, I thought he did look fatigued. Moving forward, man, I mean, I just – when I look at Boston, I don't see – like a scary team. You know what I mean? I just don't see that. Like, I don't see like a overwhelming, like, man, you know, how are we going to do this? How do we climb this mountain? I see a team that plays really hard. And if you don't come to play, they'll beat you. And with the Cleveland team, I just don't know if they're going to ever come to play. So I could see Boston winning game six. With that said, just because I don't know what I'm going to get out of the JRs and the Jordan Clarksons. And I mean, they had, if I'm not mistaken, 10 points. Tristan Thompson, George Hill, and J.R. Smith combined for 10 points.
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah, that's terrible. So
yeah. El Will, how you feel?
So I actually missed game five. Got busy, missed game five, but I was able to keep up with the live stats. And the first quarter just seemed like it got out of hand. Cleveland had moments in the game where they were able to get back into the game, but they just never can get over the hump. Going back and watching some of the highlights, it looked like LeBron was fatigued, looked like he was disengaged throughout the game. And Kevin Love started off the first quarter with 10 points. I believe he only had four through quarters two and four.
Yeah.
There's really no excuse for that. There's no excuse for that. That sounds like some J.J. Redick stuff when he played for the Clippers. And J.R. Smith, he just did his J.R. thing again. Disappeared. Tristan Thompson, I don't really expect many points from Tristan Thompson. I'll more so grade him off of his rebounding. If he gets me three to five offensive rebounds, he's able to save possessions. That's how I grade whether he was productive within the game. And LeBron just wasn't getting much help from his supporting cast. But like DA said, he didn't set the tempo for guys to go out there and kind of feed off of his energy. So with him not setting the tempo, the game just got away from them pretty early. And it seemed like them not having energy and them having to expend more energy to stay in the game and come and win the game just wasn't going to happen. But I've been noticing it's that home court advantage is just something special in the East right now.
Yeah, man, I'm going to give credit to the Celtics. Like you said, at home, man, they play great. Like Al Horford looks like an all-star at home. Jason Tatum looks like a future all-star. They got Marcus Smart at home looking like a starting point guard, which he's not. But they definitely got him looking good out there, man. But the Cavs, man, like DA said, man, I was sick, man. There was about 8 minutes left in the game, and I turned the TV off for like 2 or 3 minutes. And I realized I'm a fan, man. I realized I'm a fan of LeBron because he's playing, and I'm, like, legit angry. And I don't get that mad about things. But he's playing, and I'm angry because I'm watching him play. They cut the lead to 8, and this guy has the ball. He dribbles down, throws a bounce pass to Kevin Love, which he should have took a layup, but it got stolen by Rozier. The next possession, he gets it. He throws a terrible pass cross court to Jeff Green and goes out of bounds. He gets the ball again and dribbles out of bounds. And at that point, I'm like, what is he doing out there? This dude had 26, 10, and 5, and I felt like he had 10 points and 5 rebounds. He could do so much, but sometimes, I don't know if he gets in his head, but he like starts to like relax and starts to like chill and starts to defer. But on this team, he's the first and second option. So he can't take those plays off. He has to continue to put his head down and get to the rim. So I was really disappointed in the way LeBron played, especially winning that game. If you win that game, you go back home, and you know your role players are going to play better. So I feel like he should have came out with more urgency. And that whole tired thing, I don't care about that, man. If you're on the court, you got to play. If you was tired, you should have sat out the game. And then came back fresh for the next game. So in my eyes, I feel like he should have just not played. Kevin Love, you guys know how I feel about Kevin Love, man. I say it every week. I'm watching it, and every time I say it, I can't watch this guy play. He's so inefficient. And then his post work is terrible.
Nasty.
All he has is that right-hand hook. And he tries to, like, wrap the other player and, like, go through his arms and throw up a hook shot. That's garbage, man. That's a garbage play. Yeah, that's a garbage play.
The thing about Kev Love and his post play that's really bothering me is he cannot take advantage of Jaylen Brown on the switch
at all.
It's actually a bad look for the Cavs to toss it in there and let him go to work with Jaylen Brown on. That's not a good matchup for Kev.
I watched him get blocked on a hook shot. You know how hard that is to do, to get blocked on a hook shot? So I'm done with him, man. I don't trust him. If he has a good game, great. If not, who cares? Tristan Thompson, listen, I don't expect much. Like Lamar said, a couple rebounds, a couple putbacks, you know, a couple pick-and-roll dunks. That's what I expect. And then George Hill and J.R. Smith, they are the worst backcourt in the playoffs. Outside of those home games, I think they're averaging like 2 points a game, which is like – that's absurd to play 30 plus minutes and get 2 points. There's no way. I could lace up right now and get 2 points. I'll just go to the rim and jump and get a foul and get some free throws. So for them to average 2 points a game is crazy. So I don't like the Cavs. I kind of hope they lose so I could just end the season and I could relax. Because watching that game, I'm getting too salty, man. I'm getting hot every time.
Well, you know, I'm definitely a LeBron fan, man. So I agree with you there, but unlike what L-Dub thinks, you know, I don't really give passes. And I just felt like LeBron's whole approach was just trash, man. Like, to come out and not – especially with guys who have never won before. He was supposed to come out and set the tone. And now, you know, he has to trust them with his back against the wall. And they just can't be trusted. They stink. They stink.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens Game 6.
What do you guys expect for Game 6?
I expect Cleveland to go out. So we take it back. I had Cavs winning in 6. Even though they kind of got handled Games 1 and 2, I felt like they were still momentum Games 3 and 4. And I had them winning Game 5. After the results of Game 5, got Game 7 looking kind of like a toss-up game. But I do have Cleveland winning Game 6. And I think they'll probably win a close one. I think Boston will come to play. The last game, Game 4, I believe Boston was outplayed in one quarter. And it kind of decided the entire game. I think that it'll be something similar to that Game 6.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, for me, Game 6, I'm really unsure. I expect LeBron to get like a 40-point triple-double probably, but I just don't know about the rest of the team. I mean, they've played well at home, so I'm hoping that continues, but at the same time, I just don't know. And luckily, Boston is so bad on the road that they could sneak and win this game, but I don't have any faith, man, for them to win. So if they win Game 6, they'll get to Game 7, and most likely they'll lose because I just don't have faith in the rest of the team. I expect LeBron to do his thing, but outside of that, no one else has an advantage.
Right.
So Game 6, I hope they win, but I'm not too confident.
Yeah, Game 6, I could actually see Boston taking because I feel like they're just playing with house money and they're just going to play so hard. You know, they're just going to play so hard because they're one game away from the finals. And I just feel like, you know, these dudes on the Cavs, I mean, there's never a change in urgency. Like, you know how you'll see some teams. I mean, you see it with the Rockets and the Warriors. Yeah. You know, they'll have lulls and then it's like, okay, it's go time. Like, a J.R. Smith, he's just floating around out there. And I, you don't like Kevin Love. The player that I'm sick of seeing in this series is Jeff Green. I mean, he's bringing up to the table. And Ty Lue is just trotting him out there. Like, it's pretty simple. These dudes are bums. So if you start a game and George Hill's not giving you anything, then it's time to give Jordan Clarkson a look. J.R. Smith's not giving you anything, give Rodney Hood a look. You don't have to stick with these guys. You know, they haven't earned anything to stick with them. I mean, you got to stick with LeBron. You got to stick with Kevin Love. I mean, Tristan and Larry Nance are who they are, but you know what they're going to give you. Everybody else, it should just be, all right, you don't have it tonight. On to the next. Let's see. Let's give somebody opportunity.
Yeah. I got a question. Do you feel like Larry Nance would probably be a better fit than Tristan Thompson?
They're about the same.
No, I think they're the same, but I just think that Larry Nance is not comfortable playing the five where Tristan has. Yeah. So I think Tristan's a better fit for this team at the five.
And why did Ty Lue not play Korver as much?
This guy, man, he said that it was because Semi Ojeleye didn't play, you know, because Brad Stevens shortened his rotation. But then the analytics guys on Twitter, you know, they ran some quick numbers and they said Kyle Korver's played 91 minutes and only 36 or 37 of them were with Ojeleye on the court. So Ty Lue was just talking. I mean, he just made it up. He gets defensive, and if you see his press conferences, like one reporter had asked him why Rodney Hood continued to play in the first two games, and Ty Lue was like, "I'm gonna play who I want to play," and then the next game, all of a sudden, Rodney Hood didn't play no more. So
yeah,
I think he just needs to tone it down and just look at things. Well, but I mean, I guess it's a high situation.
In Ty Lue's defense, as far as the Rodney Hood question goes, the way the guy asked it was kind of rude too. He has to protect his players. I mean, dude, that's like the way he asked the question was like, "Why are you playing, Rodney? He's not giving you anything." It's kind of like, "Yo, like, chill out, like, relax," because he's sitting there questioning about Rodney Hood, but JR is not giving him anything either. So it's like, you know, I felt Ty Lue in that situation protecting his players, but I also understood why he didn't play him the next game. Well, I mean, I didn't understand why he didn't play him the next game.
Yeah. I'm lost for words, man, with J.R. Smith and George Hill, man. I don't know. Those guys suck, man. I don't know what to say. Those guys suck, man. That's all I can say. That's not professional or nothing, man, but it's like, what can you say? You watch these guys play 35 minutes and do nothing. I don't even know how that's possible. And you're playing with LeBron. Yeah. So playing with LeBron means that there's going to be less help because they're worried about LeBron. So you're getting free lanes and more open looks, and you can't score. You can't make a play. I don't know how that's possible. So
do you believe that playing with LeBron is more difficult than people make it out to be?
I think it's mental. You're worried about, okay, should I give the ball to LeBron? Is LeBron open? And I think that's why players like Kyrie can flourish, because he's not worried about that. He's feeling like, I'm as good as this guy, and now you can't help because you're guarding LeBron, so I'm going to go to work. And I think you need players like that. That's why I think Isaiah Thomas would have been a good fit, because he's like, I'm just as good as these guys. So when you defer to LeBron too much, I think it's a detriment to the team. I think they have to go out like, I'm going to get my own, and then LeBron's going to do his regardless.
Right.
So it's mental in my mind.
Yeah. I think it's a pressure. I think it adds pressure because everything with LeBron is under a microscope. And that's just his world. He's used to it. But I think when players come in, they've never had that. Like, I mean, even when you look at KD in game four, passing to Clay, it was a topic. I mean, I've seen LeBron pass to an open Kyle Korver in a regular season game for a game winner and get killed, let alone playoffs.
But that's because of history, though. I don't think that's necessarily because we've never seen KD just come down and say, hey, I'm giving this away. And he's already being criticized heavily for the decision that he made for going to Golden State, which is very valid. But you can't go to Golden State and then decide, now I'm going to be the pass-first guy. And in the past, the pass that he made wasn't a great look. He just passed to Clay that's moving negatively backwards away from the basket. Come on. Like, you can't defend that. Well, LeBron is just – it was a continuous thing. We keep seeing him give the ball up. We keep seeing him not want to shoot late in games. That's why
he's – Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think that was a false narrative, and the numbers showed that to be true. But – I mean, I'm saying even in Miami, there was a time where Chris Bosh had a wide open free throw jumper. That's his shot. He missed it. LeBron got killed. regular season too.
Hey, the only time I don't agree with LeBron was that time he passed to Udonis Haslam for a game winner. I'm like, at no trust Udonis with a game winner.
I'm curious to know what do you mean by the numbers say differently.
The numbers. I mean, there's just LeBron not being clutch, but if you just look at the numbers inside the last few minutes, I mean, LeBron's one of the clutchest players in history.
Right.
So I think it just comes down to preference.
If I'm not mistaken, he shot in the playoffs, he's like 6 for 13, 6 for 12, something like that, in the waning moments for game winners. Am I right?
Yeah, that's about right.
He's been in the league how many years? 15?
There's not that many game winners.
I'm saying because they're not. So the thing about it is the amount of shots he's taking is going to be lower. Not because he's not playing the games, not because they're not coming down to waning minutes, it's because he's passing the ball. The shots that he takes are always good looks, or I'm not going to say always good looks. They're always, for the majority of the time, he's taking good shots. He's not taking bad shots. That one runner he had against Toronto, that was a bad shot. That was a bad shot.
That was a tough shot, yeah.
That shot he made against Indiana, that's a tough shot. But outside of that, he always takes pretty decent shots. He's not a bad shot selector. He doesn't take bad shots whatsoever. So he's just careful in the shots that he takes. Whereas you see a Kobe Bryant who's has terrible shot selection. He just happens to be good at making those tough shots. But when it comes down to those waning moments, that's out. You shooting that bad shot over two or three defenders, your percentages are going to drop. So I do believe that narrative is valid. If you want to pass, I'll give you an example. All-Star game, LeBron has the ball at the top of the key by himself.
That was bad. That was bad.
And everybody at the end of the game is in his ear like, shoot the ball. What are you doing? Shoot the ball. And it's just him just not wanting to take the shot.
Yeah, no, that was a bad play. I agree with that. I mean, usually I think he makes the right decision, but there are times when he should shoot it and he makes the right play, but he should still take some of those shots because I trust him more than I trust whoever else taking the shot. So, it's somewhat fair, but it's overblown in the media. But that's what they do with LeBron. Everything with LeBron is overblown.
It's definitely overblown because he makes the right play. It's not like he's making bad plays. He just – like KD passing to Klay, that's a bad play.
Yeah.
Steph passing to Draymond, that's a bad play.
I guess my overall point on that was just that these guys come into a world where – I mean, it doesn't matter what LeBron does, whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing. The coverage he's going to get is going to be more than any other player in the league. Yeah.
Agreed.
And it's been that way since he was in high school. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's only continued because he has exceeded all the expectations that were set before him. When they said he's going to be the greatest player, if he would have just been mellow, we wouldn't care about LeBron anymore. But he's exceeded it. So it's just the pressure. So you get a player like Jordan Clarkson, who was playing in L.A., He's never had this pressure. He played with Kobe, but they weren't expected to do anything.
Yeah, they weren't good at that time.
These guys have just never been around where everything was blown up and everything was made a big deal.
Yeah.
Locker room meetings, locker room meetings getting leaked out. Isaiah Thomas asking Kevin Love why he left the bench. Like, just stuff like that doesn't really – that was a bigger deal in the media than D'Angelo Russell ruining Nick Young's relationship. Yeah. So just stuff like
that. So, speaking of pressure, do you think that's why home court is such a major factor in this series? Do you think people feel the pressure and they just feel more comfortable at home? Or what do you guys think about that?
I just think the players stink, man. And I think that – you see LeBron play good on the road and at home. You see even like a Jason Tatum. And they're young, though. But you still see like the game transfers for Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I mean, they're going to miss some shots. But
everything else is still there. I just think that everyone on these rosters are essentially role players, and so home court advantage makes a big difference.
I agree, though. There are a lot of role players in this series, so I think that's why it's swinging so much, like from home to away. I never realized that it played that much of a factor until this series. With these role players, it's really affecting everybody. So I'm surprised, though, because there are a lot of veterans, though, and I thought it would affect more of the younger guys. And seeing that, even though they're role players, seeing that they're veterans, I thought that they would play slightly better than they have been. And
well, I'll say this, though. I think that if Cleveland wins game six, they're winning game seven.
I'm not as confident.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll say that without a question, because I just think at that point, LeBron goes into game seven mode and they have no choice but to.
But I don't know.
He should be in game seven mode right now.
I don't know if that's enough.
He'll be in game seven mode in game six, but he wasn't in game five.
See, but look, I don't know if that's enough, because before he would go game seven mode, right? But he had a D-Wade to give him that extra nudge, that 20, or that Kyrie to give him 25. He may go LeBron.
But before he was playing, I'm saying it still wouldn't be enough if he was playing Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, but he's playing young guys. He's playing young guys who can't. LeBron played like doo-doo, and he was still the leading scorer on both teams.
Yeah, but these young guys are better than those old guys in Cleveland.
They are, but what I'm saying is when LeBron goes level, if he just gets any kind of help, which I think he will in a game seven, what I'm saying is Boston needs to win game six to win this series. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's not a bad assessment, but I don't trust – the Cavs players to play good in game seven. They haven't shown me any reason that they would play well. We'll see.
Do you feel like in a game seven, Cleveland loses, would you be surprised?
No.
Yeah, I would.
No. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised because
game sevens aren't won by role players.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that LeBron wants to go up against the Warriors in the finals?
I think what LeBron wants to do, you know, I talked to one of my friends about this today. He's a LeBron fan. He wants him to lose. Talking about it'll hurt his legacy. But I don't think it will. I think how LeBron looks at this is like, I've gone to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, I've gone to the NBA Finals 8 years in a row.
Right.
If I get there, like the only time we've seen something like that is the Celtics era. Bill Russell and those guys, which that's never happened. And so to get there with this team, it's going to look like the 07. It's going to look like 07. I got there in 07 with a bum roster. I got swept. But he gets credit for getting there.
Yeah, but he also, like, you know, he also gets a lot of flack for his record.
But the thing is, where LeBron's at right now, where LeBron's at, there's nothing LeBron could do to change anyone's mind. Either you think he's the greatest player, or you don't.
Well, that's not true.
There's no one who's going to change their mind based on another ring. They're going to say, "Well, Jordan has six."
No, if it depending on the competition he defeats, will help his case.
That's false. He beat a 73-win team, and people just
KD and people said the Warriors formed that was his greatest. That's his greatest.
It was, but look at all the teams he's faced. I mean, look at all the teams he's faced. He beat the Spurs. He beat the Thunder. When you look back at that roster, that's going to be one of the most talented rosters ever.
You're talking about a young Thunder team. He ain't beat them in their
prime. It doesn't matter, but I'm saying that's who he played. Okay. So I'm saying young, old, or indifferent.
Okay.
Is it better than the Blazers that Jordan won?
Or the Jazz? The Utah Jazz.
Or the Suns with Barkley and Dan Marley? Come on.
Well,
come on.
You got
three MVPs on one roster.
You're still looking at a LeBron James who has, 12 series wins with 50-plus win teams.
What does that mean, though?
Well, it shows that he's not playing.
What does that got to do with?
He's not playing.
What does that got to do?
He's not playing great teams. Oh, we always talk about how LeBron's going up against X amount of players.
You say that, but you got to realize most of the teams he were on weren't great teams.
So, well,
Jordan was on a great team.
I'm going to say this: we always talk about how LeBron is playing up against more talent on the opposing team, but nobody had any type of sympathy for the players that were going up against LeBron when he was in Miami. When those teams were stacked similar to what we see now in Golden State.
No, it was never similar to that.
Well, why
when
not?
When you say that, which teams need a sympathy? The Big Three. Well, that was a competitive series.
So what?
The Big Three was a competitive series.
And it shouldn't have been.
People said the Bulls were going to beat Miami.
Listen, Miami versus Dallas shouldn't have been that competitive.
No, that was one that LeBron let slip away. That's always
been. Yeah, that's his fault.
Okay, because we had Dirk going up against.
That's the only finals that LeBron's been favored in, by the way.
You love to say LeBron being favored.
No, I just love using facts, and you don't. Well, like
I don't understand what favorite has to do with anything. We looked at that Miami team and said, "There's no way nobody's gonna beat these guys."
Well, that's not true, because remember when people didn't even think they'd make the finals when they were struggling and early in the season?
Yeah, they were 17 games in. They were 8-9. 17 games in.
I'm just telling you, man. Like, you have a problem.
No,
a
I problem don't. Nobody, everybody, listen.
I'm just telling you, he should have won that finals.
The
that
crazy was, thing
he was
is,
favored to win. There's no reason they should have lost.
17 games in, people will say, oh, I don't know if this team is going to make it to the finals. 50 or 60 games in, they're like, yeah, this team is probably destined for the finals. And every year since then, anytime LeBron's changed the team, had a new team, so on and so forth, the first thing they say is, give it 20 games or so, let the team kind of get a feel for each other, LeBron, to figure out how to make this thing work. That's what he's great at. So it doesn't waver now. It's the same thing. Give him time to put the team in position to do well and watch what they do. LeBron gets time.
I just think it's a perfect illustration of what I'm saying when people talk about LeBron's legacy. I mean, he's been in 15 years. Get up. My mind's made up. Like, there's people who are going to say he's the greatest. I'm going to tell you that. I already know. I mean, you can't convince me otherwise that there's a better all-around basketball player ever that's been on the face of this planet than LeBron James.
D.A., question. So, well, for you too, Lamar, how close do you think Kevin Durant is to overtaking LeBron as the best player? I heard on The Herd by Colin Cowherd that they said KD may have a better career than LeBron if he continues with the Warriors. Do you think that's possible?
First, to answer your question, I do think KD is the second best player in the world, but I think the gap on is, I mean, a Grand Canyon. And the reason why I feel that way is because I know KD feels that way. Because if KD did not feel that way, he would not have joined the Warriors. And the Warriors would not have recruited. The Warriors knew, we need something else. We need something to put us over the top, because if it just comes down to who can add the best marginal free agent, we're in trouble playing this Cleveland team. And if KD felt that he was better than LeBron, then he would have just continued in OKC, or he could have went to another team. You see what James Harden's doing with Chris Paul. No one can tell me that KD and Chris Paul wouldn't be better than Chris Paul and James Harden. That's crazy. KD and the Clippers. It would have been Chris Paul, KD, Blake, DeAndre. They win a ring. Easy. They win a ring. Easy.
I agree.
Yeah. And so I think what separates KD from a skill standpoint is the ability to facilitate and the ability to make teammates better. I mean, we talked about it earlier offline. We talked about Chris Paul making David West an all-star. We talked about LeBron making Mo Williams an all-star. There's no one that we can say KD made an all-star. No one. He's just not possible.
Yeah, because he's not.
I mean,
he's not really that playmaker. He's more of a scorer.
He's the best scorer.
Yeah, he's a scorer. Yeah, he's the best scorer in the world. And that's easy. I would say the gap between him and LeBron as a scorer is huge. But I think the gap between LeBron and him for the best player is just
as I don't know if I agree with that last one. I do think LeBron has closed the gap between he and KD as far as scoring. I think KD can score from more places on the court easier than LeBron, but LeBron gets to the paint at will. That's something KD struggles doing. KD's not getting to the paint as easily as LeBron is. He's not finishing as easily as LeBron is. Some of those layups we saw tonight, LeBron probably would have dunked on a couple of them.
Yeah.
So, and LeBron is very efficient as well. He's not going out there shooting 40% from the field. He's getting in the 50%, mid-50, sometimes 60% from the field. He's shooting threes better. His free throws still need work, but he's
a lot of work.
Yeah, his
LeBron. If you're listening, that little step with your left foot,
trash.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's gotta go.
Get rid of
that's
it now.
You stepping with the wrong foot for one. And now you step it like you plant your right foot to line up with the basket. Why are you moving your left foot?
He shoot like a left hander.
But do you guys think it's because he's naturally left handed?
No,
that's a good argument.
No. It's mental.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. I'm saying he shoots the ball with his right hand, but I'm just saying, do you think that's
no?
Man, that's trash.
He's thinking that.
I don't agree with it either.
He needs something, and he's trying anything.
That's what it is. It's got to be because there's no way. There's no way Ray Allen was teaching him that in Miami.
Nah,
absolutely no way. He looks nervous. I'm like, yo, is he traveling on the free throw line?
He's doing a lot.
He just looks off. He looks off balance. Like you see him like leaning in. You see, I mean, I just don't know how you.
But as far as the question, KD's the second best player in the world. I do agree that the gap is pretty wide between him and LeBron, and I agree for the same reasons. He's not the playmaker LeBron is, and he does not make anyone better. Period. He makes no one better. Because his game is simply putting the ball in the basket at a high rate.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, Will. A little off topic, but it's just a yes or no. We don't got to expand on it. Do you think that LeBron can make Terry Rozier an all-star?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
He could. I mean, he made Mo Williams all-star, so he definitely could do it.
Yeah, I believe he can make Terry Rozier an all-star.
Back to the question. So I don't think KD is overtaking LeBron just yet. I don't think he really can. Their games are too different. I feel like KD is strictly a prolific scorer and LeBron's an all-around player. If you were to swap LeBron and KD, the Cavs would probably be like a 6 seed. I don't think he can carry that team. And LeBron and Golden State, they may not lose the game.
They may not lose a game.
So, just that alone, I know that LeBron's the best player and that KD's not really close. As far as the scoring that Lamar was talking about, I do think now that LeBron's caught up to him, but it's just the way that people score. Like, people think Kobe's the better scorer than LeBron, but it's the way they score that makes it look so much better. LeBron's just going to the rim, getting layups and dunks, and, you know, sprinkling a couple of jumpers. So, that's why it doesn't look as good. But he is just as good a scorer as probably a KD or Kobe was.
I mean, the only reason why I say that KD is an overall better scorer than LeBron is just because at every point, KD is going to give you buckets at a high rate. Where LeBron, I think LeBron's always had tools that he just doesn't use until he needs them, though. So, I mean, you're seeing in this playoff run, I mean, the mid-range jumper looks like it's one of the best in the league.
Yeah.
And
he brought it back.
If you go under the screen,
he has the pull up three working. I mean, he's just making all of his reads. But I just feel like Kevin Durant, I mean,
it just looks better. He's just, that's all.
Well, not only that, but I'm saying he's just born to score. Like, that's just who he is. And when you take, when you're the second best player in the world, whatever you're best at, there's no one who could be equal to you in that. You know what I mean? Like, whatever LeBron's best at, there's no equal. There's no equal facilitator than LeBron. Chris Paul's probably number two, but he's not LeBron.
Right. Yeah.
And so I mean, KD is, to me, KD is I mean, this dude, he had like three score. He got a scoring title his third year in the league. Imagine Brandon Ingram winning a scoring title this year. Like, that would be crazy. You know, that would be crazy. That's what
That's night and day, though. That's two different players. So
yeah.
No. I'm just saying. Imagine a third year player being that good, winning a scoring title.
Yeah.
Like, we're giving Donovan Mitchell love for averaging 19.
Yeah.
We love Donovan Mitchell for 19. Kevin Durant was doing that in his sleep. 25, second year, 30 is third. So I just think that, I mean, and then, you know, you mentioned the free throws, the three. I mean, he's just complete as a scorer. I think LeBron's a great scorer. I'm not saying he's not, but I just feel like KD is the greatest scorer of this generation.
I agree. Well, to answer the second part of the question, I don't think KD's career can ever exceed LeBron's.
No.
It can never. I don't think it ever be close. I think he could possibly win more championships, but I think that there'll always be an asterisk next to him as far as him joining Golden State. I do believe that it's possible he leaves Golden State and can win another ring somewhere elsewhere, which have more. He'll definitely get more respect for those championships or that championship as opposed to this run here in Golden State.
So you think he's going to follow the LeBron blueprint?
I don't think he's going home to Washington, or I don't think he's going back to OKC. But I do think that he is. I don't see him staying in Golden State for the remainder of his career.
I do.
Unless they lose, I think he'll stay.
I just don't see it.
I think he's going to stay regardless, and I could see other people leaving.
Like Steph?
So just to ask you a quick question, DA.
I could see Steph getting traded.
Do you see
– Stop it.
Let's say, for instance, that scenario plays out where everyone around – well, majority of the team around KD packs up and is shipped out. Do you see – Would you still feel the same way if KD remained there and won a championship?
I'm always going to feel the same way about KD. I feel like KD's a great player. If someone asked me where KD's going to go down all time, I'm going to say
– Top 10?
I'm going to say it now. Like, you know, people always wait till later, but we know what we see. KD's a top 10 player to ever play in the NBA.
I agree.
Right now. You don't got to wait and see where his career – we know what we see. So – I feel like KD's always going to be a great player, but as far as legacy, I don't think he'll ever be on that level.
No, he doesn't have that mystique neither.
Yeah, I mean that just wasn't his expectation. You know, I mean, that's who LeBron is from the day he entered the league to now.
Do we feel like Jordan or Kobe had that mystique? Because I know kind of Magic and Bird had a different responsibility.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jordan had that early on. Like,
I don't think Jordan and Kobe – I think Jordan had it after his first year.
Can I say something about Jordan, guys? And I know that Jordan's like someone that can never be talked about on this earth for some reason. But the truth of the matter is the reason why that people feel the way they feel about Jordan, yeah, he was a great player. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if someone says he's the greatest of all time, that's fine. I think for a long time he was, but then LeBron came. But he was the first marketed player. He was the first.
He was the first to have the Nike commercials. Everything that LeBron has, Jordan was the first. He was the only one. There was no – if you went to go buy some J's, you couldn't – there was no Clyde Drexlers to buy. you know what I mean? Like, he was the first.
So they had, didn't they have the Ewings first, back then?
I mean, there were –
We got the motorcycle. We got the motorcycle coming.
It wasn't the same. You know, it just wasn't the same. And so I feel like with him being the first, there's a feeling that comes along with that. The commercials, the I want to be like Mike. Yeah. You couple that with the dunks, the athletic ability. He was the first. And so it's going to be hard for people to ever – Jordan was their first love. But – Yeah, like I say all the
but
time.
But that doesn't take away what he did off the or what he did on the court, though.
No, I'm saying he had a great career, and I'm not taking that away. If you want to say 6-0 in the finals, and you want to talk about career legacy, there may never ever be a player that goes 6-0 in the finals again. But what I'm saying to you is just from a, I mean, Jordan shot under 20% from three.
They did shoot threes back. That's not something they.
You're saying he didn't shoot three. You're saying. That year, but that was his percentage.
What I'm saying is this.
You know who doesn't shoot threes? Ben Simmons.
Listen, what I'm saying is this. LeBron wasn't a great three-point shooter when he came into the league.
Okay.
He never practiced that neither. There's a reason why he didn't practice it, because it wasn't as serious as it is in today's game. So today's game, if you can't make the three, you may not be in the league.
I'm just telling you. Larry Bird didn't shoot threes either, but do you think he could shoot them?
Yes.
Okay. We know that Larry Bird was a great shooter. Magic couldn't shoot.
How many great shooters were in the league at that time?
A lot. There was a lot of great shooters.
There's not now, stop now, it. Are there better shooters now than there were then?
There's better everything now.
Yeah, the game has evolved.
There's better everything now.
So the game has evolved. But let me ask you this. Is the game easier today than it was then?
Come on, man. Here you go.
I'm not saying that.
I'm just asking the question.
I'm not saying that.
What makes it easier? Let me ask you this, Lamar. Let me ask you this.
Let me answer the question.
Okay, go ahead.
What makes it easier? We'll start off.
No, that's not what I asked.
You said what makes the game easier now than it was back then.
That's not what I asked.
Okay, go ahead. Ask
No, I said, yeah. I said, let me ask you this. Do you think it's easier to stay in front of Magic Johnson or Russell Westbrook?
Russell Westbrook.
Hold on, what?
I'm off. Magic Johnson. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So what makes the game easier today?
So what makes the game easier today is this. We know through evolution of the game and the players and so on and so forth, there's better athletes, better shooters. There's more skilled players throughout the league than there's ever been. We understand that 100%. But what we don't take into account is the league not only being tougher, it was harder to score back then because of the hand checking, because the fouls weren't the same, because of nutrition, everything played a different part. I heard Kenyon Martin say, we don't talk about how cats back then, you tell your Achilles, your career is done. Now it's 8 months and you back on the court.
You're still finished in today's game.
Yeah. People used to die from chicken pox too. What's that mean?
ACLs. Tear. You're done. You're not coming back to league now. A year you back.
See, I don't know what you can't really say though, because Dominique Wilkins tore his Achilles, came back and averaged 30.
Yeah, Dominique Wilkins was a freak. How many dudes is like
what? My point is, what does that mean?
I'm about to get into all of that. So, the fouls now are crazy. Let's not act as if these fouls that we see today, they're getting more and more creative by the year. Every season, they find a new way to get to the free throw line.
Let me interject.
Let me finish this. Okay. The players are younger. You playing like these cats is coming in 18 years old and starting. Like starting, LeBron's playing against maybe the youngest the NBA's ever been. Like, this is crazy.
Listen. Quick question. The NBA's young right now because the players are better. Everything's better. When you talk about the physicality of the league, go back and look. Go back and look at the what do you think Bill Laimbeer is going to do with Anthony Davis in front of him? Nothing. So you've played basketball a long time. And you're a skilled people don't know, but there's just different types of players on our podcast. Lamar is a skilled guy. Lacks at but where Dwight was a super athlete. I'm saying it's just different things. But Lamar being a skilled guy, he favors skilled players. There's nothing wrong with that. But my point is, Lamar, when you go to 24 or something like that, the guys who are playing physical, are they good?
Absolutely not. Former football players.
That's my point. There comes a point in time where all you could do is bring physicality. There's nothing else you can do. So when you talk about that era, right, Jordan doesn't have a reputation for being one of those physical guys. He has a reputation for a guy that the physical guys wanted to be physical with. The Jordan rules. That's because he was better than them. So the rules benefited inferior and less skilled athletes. And those guys, if you go back and you look at the rosters, those guys aren't in the NBA anymore. I'm saying they basically had a bunch of Aaron Baines.
Yeah.
A bunch of even like a guy like Big Baby Davis, he was more skilled than a lot of guys.
Yeah. He had that jumper.
Yeah,
he was more skilled than a lot of guys.
What about Wallace though? He made it.
Yeah, but Ben Wallace, there's always going to be specialty guys though. like a Ben Wallace or a Dennis Rodman, somebody who's going to come in, defend, and rebound. You'll always find a place.
Right. Like Tony Allen.
Yeah. There's always going to be roles. But with that said, the players are just better. And for us to act, to continue on in basketball. So if LeBron's not better than Jordan or Kobe wasn't better than Jordan, who's it going to be? Because Durant's not better than LeBron. Giannis isn't going to be better than Kobe. So who's it going to be? We're going to be going till 2060 saying a dude who played in the 80s was the best of all time? That's nonsense. I'm just saying that's nonsense.
Yeah.
You make a good argument. You do make a good
argument. It's just fact. And this is what we know. We know that LeBron got the hype in high school because he was the greatest 18-year-old the world has ever seen. True or false?
That's a true statement.
Okay. So if he came in and he exceeded all the expectations, we know that he's the greatest of all time. That's just what we know.
I mean, I agree. Some people can make the argument for Jordan, but yeah, I agree with you that LeBron is the greatest.
There's a great argument for Jordan because Jordan was the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
So everything that made him the greatest of all time, it still holds true.
Where's Jordan on your list, DA?
Number two.
Okay, because I remember you making an argument for Kobe not so long.
No. I'm just saying that you can argue that Kobe was better than Jordan.
Yeah,
you can argue that. And it's a compelling argument. Like if we're just sitting here and we have two products and one's product is Jordan and the other product is Kobe, Coca-Cola, that's going to come down to preference.
Yeah.
And the same thing with LeBron. But what I'm just saying is that not only do we have everything, we know that this era is better. Like it's just a dumb argument. Like it's actually a dumb argument because let me ask you this. If we go back to 1995 or let's say 1996, if Jordan's the best player in the league, who's the second best?
Wasn't it Clyde?
Not at that time. Nah. But
it was Karl Malone. Karl Malone, Gary Payton. Yeah,
a lot of people would say Karl Malone. And people acted as if Karl Malone was just this physical freak of nature. Well, Karl Malone is LeBron's size.
Yeah, I don't have Karl Malone. I think –
Karl Malone is not a better basketball player, just skill for skill, than Blake Griffin. He's not.
No, I don't think Karl Malone is all that great. I think he put up big numbers. He's a great player.
He got a lot of buckets.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to draft a Charles Barkley over Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? The era has changed. It's like if we're talking the NFL and they had linemen that were weighing 240 pounds. They're going to get ran over. That's the size of a
run. Yeah.
I'm saying Leonard Fournette's that size. They can't physically compete. And that's my only case.
So, and this LeBron. Is and the part that – the part where we defer is what you do is you take today's players and have them compete against yesterday's players. And the problem with that is –
That's argument. We're asking who's the
greatest. Well, the problem with that is circumstances are totally different. Circumstances where – you know, the adaptation is totally different. We don't have to get into all of that, but circumstances are totally different. I look at it as if Jordan in his era, what did he do stats-wise? Did he dominate on the court? And when it came to winning, did he dominate in that as well? And I feel like he dominated his era better than LeBron dominated his era. A lot of dudes winning championships in LeBron's era.
If you're doing that, though, then you got to say Kareem if you're going to do that.
Right. I'm not taking – and I don't argue against people who say Kareem. That's more preference. I like to see the guard who's created and dunking on cats like Kareem as opposed to drop downs and hook shots.
The thing is with that, like, it's just nonsense because we don't do that. We don't do that in any other sports. Jesse Owens in 1936 ran a 10-3 100 meter. He won a gold medal. Usain Bolt's record is a 9.58. That's almost a second slower. That means they're not even in the same race.
Right, dude.
Jesse Owens, Olympic time in 1936.
Yeah, I can't believe you used it. Like, you don't understand that.
No, I'm just giving you an example. It's slower than some high school kids.
Right, you do understand that. We've come to agree that as time progresses, as does the human nature as well.
That's my point. So we, guy who was in his prime 30 years ago, being the greatest of all time, when we see greatness again, right now, we again, see I'm it.
Only comparing,
there was no Kevin only, Durant in Jordan's era. So when you say he dominated his era, of course he's going to dominate Jeff Hornacek. The Clippers, I mean the Sixers, if they play, they're not even going to put JJ Redick on LeBron. They can't. But these are the Byron Russell,
John Starks.
I mean, these are clutch moments of Jordan's career. If we go back and look at his legacy, look who's guarding Craig Elo. Jeff Hornacek, Byron Russell, John Starks.
Yeah, he's ahead of his time.
Do you think at any point in time we're going to feel like that about LeBron's run in the East?
We are. That's what I'm saying. It's always temporary. The game's going to continue to progress. And if we fast forward in 40 years and there's a guy who's at the top of all these record books in that era, I'm going to tell you, yes, he's better than LeBron.
Yeah.
And you know what it's going to look like? It's going to look like somebody – Kevin Durant's hot. It's going to look like somebody in Giannis's body playing point guard and can shoot.
Like Steph?
And does everything.
So Giannis – Yeah, from – Giannis, Steph, and LeBron combined. Yeah,
that's what it's going to look like.
Yeah. All right. Hey, this has been a long topic. Let's get to our last topic, man. These last two topics I'm going to discuss – first team All-NBA. You guys have any complaints? Do you guys agree? What do you guys think about that?
First team All-NBA. I'm a Dame guy. You guys know I love Dame, but I'm going to have to throw Russ on the first team, man. I mean, I think he's just getting disrespected. I think people have a problem with Russ because he's an alpha and his personality. And, yeah, we know he's not a great decision maker on the court, but – I mean, there's two guys who have averaged a triple-double. One guy's done it twice. Big O, for all our time, put Big O top 10 all time. Can't leave out Big O. Well, I'm leaving them out. And people put them on there, and they say, you know, the first thing they say, he averaged a triple-double. Well, Russ done it twice. So Big O's behind Russ. So if Russ isn't in my top 10, Big O can't be in my top 10. And whatever order, whatever number Russ is, Big O's behind him. So I'm going to put Russ first team over Dame. I'm going to move Dame to second team. Everyone else, who else? We had Harden. We had LeBron, KD, and AD. I feel like those are all great selections.
Okay.
So are we just doing first team first? Because I the only one I disagree with is Westbrook making first team.
Not making first team?
Yeah, I got him second team. I feel like his team underachieved and that he's the head of the snake as opposed to Billy Donovan being the head of the snake. A lot of responsibility is on Russell Westbrook's shoulders. He goes out there, performs hard every night. His team's not winning.
So what do you think he could have done better?
Decision making. You said
but that's it just not who he is.
It doesn't. So yeah. That's why he's second team.
Okay, and you have Dame first team.
I got Dame first team this season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dame's not the greatest decision maker either. But Dame's team won games they overexceeded what we expect them to do.
And they got swept by the Pelicans.
Yeah, but we're only talking about regular season. Okay. If we add in, I'm sorry, Dwight. If we add in the playoffs, Dame is not in my. He's probably 13. Go ahead, DG.
No, I was just gonna say. I agree with DA that Westbrook should be first team. I think the media has diminished the triple double, but I think all basketball players know that a triple double is hard to come by. I've played ball my whole life. And I've never got one. So just that alone, he should be first team. I think Lillard's team finished, three games ahead of OKC? So statistics-wise, I feel like Russell should be first team. So I would just remove Lillard, and I agree with James, Harden, Durant, and Davis. So that's my first team.
They really have diminished the triple-double, and it's sickening. And I think that they do it only in spite of Russ, because when other players get tripped up,
crazy,
they praise it. You know, they praise.
Well, I'm not gonna sit here and say it's the media's fault.
Why not?
Because everyone's getting triple doubles.
No, they're not though.
No,
that man. We've seen Fultz play five games this season.
Fultz is a dynamic talent. He got one.
He came off the bench and just decided I'm going to
get. Yeah, but I'm saying if somebody can get one in the NBA, yes, you can get one triple double. But we're talking about averaging a triple double for the whole year.
Right. No. So we don't take that away from Russ. We don't take that away from Russ.
But they are.
They're taking away from because his team is not winning.
They were a six seed and Melo's washed. What can he do?
Is Melo washed or
washed.
Is he can't play? Nah.
Paul George went 2 for 16.
Yeah, but listen, I'm not the biggest Paul George fan, so I'm not going to sit here and act as if I'm in high defense of him. But we do know that with the roster that was put together, they should have won more games.
They should have.
On paper.
But Melo has been washed, he's been dried, and he's been washed again. He's done. That's it. I feel like outside
of Melo, I agree, man.
You got Russ, Paul George, and the worst bench in the NBA.
Yeah, well, let's not overlook Steven Adams. Just mention
him. No, you're right. But I'm talking about the bench.
Steven Adams is a good center.
The bench,
yeah,
I like who's Steven. On the bench? They had to rely on Corey Brewer to come in and try and save the season.
Yeah, Corey Brewer, and yeah, that was crazy.
Corey Brewer was starting.
He was trying to save the season.
They got Jeremy Raymond Grant, Felton. Alex Abrines, Nick Collison,
Raymond Felton.
Big Boy Ray. I mean, that bench is atrocious.
Yeah,
that bench was crazy.
And let's not forget Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan, top five worst coach in the NBA. He runs no sets. I don't know.
Goodness, I want to hear your list. He's top five.
Can you admit this, Lamar?
I'm listening.
You said you don't think that Russ should have been first team. Let me ask you this. If anybody else in the NBA averaged Russ's numbers, would they have been first team?
It just depends on how the
team Come on, man.
Listen. I've made this very clear.
The same numbers got him MVP.
Right, and I was just gonna say that
he was last a seventh seed.
I felt he deserved MVP. There's people that argue whether he deserved MVP or not last year, and I say there's no argument. He clearly deserved MVP last season. Clearly, I was more impressed last season with his triple double and with the team's success than I was this season. Nah. This season it was more so like, damn, like y'all got the same amount of wins. Better roster, same amount of wins. I was not impressed.
Was it really a better roster, though?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Where?
Oladipo looked like dirt last year.
Well, Paul George looked like it this year.
Can you see a pattern there?
I can.
What's the pattern?
The pattern is they weren't good enough.
No, the pattern is playing with Russ.
It didn't hurt KD.
I was about to say, KD was cooking.
It didn't hurt James.
Well, guess
Serge
what?
Serge had his best years there. Didn't hurt Jeff.
I can't think of a player that can hurt KD's game.
Okay. So that speaks more to the players who are getting hurt. So
you're comparing Paul George.
No, what I'm saying is when KD goes to Golden State, there's a sacrifice that needs to be made, but it's not going to be made on KD's behalf because he's the best player. So when a Paul George comes in, Paul George is not Russ. He's going to sacrifice. A player who comes in that's better than Russ, that's going to affect Russ. If Russ goes with LeBron, Russ is going to be hurt, not LeBron.
See, and I think you're right in most situations. In this situation, I feel like you're wrong simply because all the reports were that OKC's management, owner, everyone was catering more towards Russ than KD. That was part of the reason why he left. So I say that to say this. No matter whom comes in other than LeBron, no matter who comes into OKC, that's Russ's team. Everyone's going to sacrifice second to Russell Westbrook.
You might be right. You hear that?
Dwayne? Yeah.
He might be right, but you're wrong.
Yeah.
It's only Russ's team because the people who are coming in are fine for it not being their team. That's why it's Russ's team. KD told you in Golden State, I'm not a leader. And then he mentions going to Russ, talking about how Russ is securing himself, and I'm still trying to find myself. Yeah, Russ is married, and you know, that's KD. But if KD would have came in there and said, this is how it needs to go, then OKC would have kept KD.